You are Locked On Seahawks, your daily Seattle Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hi, welcome to today's episode of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You are with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman. We are coming to you after a 19-17 defeat the Seahawks suffered by the Indianapolis Colts. It was a kind of back and forth game, a really weird game, a lot of former Seahawks on the other side. But before we start talking about the game, we're going to do a quick intro. I'm Grant Goldberg. I am the co-host of this Locked On Seahawks podcast, and I do social media and graphic design work for SB Nation's Lakers site. And Spike Friedman, who is on every show, who really has only missed one show, now that I think of it. He was camping and I had to go solo one time. But he is a writer with The Stranger, and we both watched the game last night. He watched it a little later. He didn't get the same live reactions. But Spike, but before we do a deep dive into what happened last night, what was your just initial thoughts of this 2018 Seahawks team?
I was gonna joke that, like, I'm heartbroken that we lost. I don't care that we lost, no. Obviously, for obvious reasons. I was pleased with how the first teams looked. In his post-game press conference, Pete said he's going to have to go back and look at some of the matchups on the big plays to see, like, how big they were, which felt like a press conference subtweet of how much Indianapolis was playing Jamarcus Webb and how many of our sacks might have been against former Seahawk turnstile Jamarcus Webb. But that said, I really liked the way the first team offense looked. I thought the first team defense looked pretty solid, especially given how many guys are missing, and whether or not you pile Earl Thomas into that group, no matter how you slice it, there are a lot of guys out. Frank Clark gets out, but the pass rush was still getting home, so that's really good. And I thought special teams looked really good. The Seahawks clearly have a plan when it comes to returns, which is exciting. Both kickers did everything you could want them to do, and we have a couple of genuine heroes at punter. So yeah. You know, there's a. I'm sure we are going to talk punting a lot all day, all week, all year. But there was a lot to like in what the second half was almost unwatchable, especially at like midnight when I was rewatching it.
I started doing laundry while I was watching the second half.
God, but I thought there was a lot to like and a lot to be optimistic about. Where do you want to start breaking this down?
I think we can just keep it going with the first team offense and defense while we're at it. I thought Russell looked sharp, Chris Carson looked sharp out of the running back group. Nick Vinette had a pretty good couple plays, and they were able to get down to the goal line, and shocker, Russell threw a touchdown to a tight end.
Vinette had the only drop from the first team offense, which is a little disappointing. Again, you want him to be. I just want him to be a little better than he is. But he's fine. And he had the touchdown in the end zone. I mean, as if he was going to catch a touchdown somewhere other than the end zone.
Right.
But I thought it was a good route, you know, well-designed. It looked good, and it worked, which was nice. And I'll just say, and I don't know how much of this has been at, but Russell was clean. That first-team offensive line looked really solid, and that's good because deeper into the game, the offensive line depth did not look great, but that first-team offensive line did look really good. And obviously they were going up against the Colts, you know, legendary pass rush.
Right, exactly. I will say, yeah, he had the drop, but I think it speaks to Russell a little bit and maybe the chemistry, him and Vinette, but, you know, he kept going back to him, which was a pretty good sign. Yeah. And you know, he didn't drop any of those passes. And I think it's just a good thing to look at from a chemistry standpoint and trust from Russell. he has by far the most continuity with the team in the tight end group, besides maybe Tyrone Swoops, who was on the practice squad. So, yeah, Russell's familiar with him. And, yeah, I just liked what I saw outside of the drop. You talked about the offensive line that kept him clean. He was upright. And it was, to me, Russell looked really sharp in his delivery.
Yeah.
He was firing those balls in there with as much zip as I've ever seen him, you know, put on a ball. And so, yeah, I really liked it. It was really positive. And, you know, I have a little bit of optimism. Granted, it was against the Colts' first-string defense in the first game of preseason. So,
but the timing was there. The timing
was exactly.
Deron
Brown
was there.
They were hitting on their,
The timing with Tyler Lockett was there. That's good. The timing with Tyler Lockett was off all of last year. And I think you can, if you were being optimistic about this year, you can chalk that up to Lockett not being at full speed, messing up the timing because he still had some nagging injury issues from the surgery he had 2 years ago. Now, if he really is fully healthy and he's popping up fast on time and where Russ knows he's going to be, that's a partnership that could have a huge impact this year. When you think about this team, if you're a little pessimistic on this team coming into the season compared to where you've been for the rest of the Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll era, which is to say this is not a baseline 11-12 win team, but is a baseline 7-9 win team, which I think is fair. If you're going to find upside on that, it's going to be this receiving core that doesn't have big names other than Doug Baldwin. Obviously, we all know Tyler Lockett and what he can do based on what he was as a rookie. We all know what Jerron Brown did early in his career at Arizona, and we all know what Brandon Marshall has done historically. But this is not a receiving core that gets you super excited, doesn't pop off the page. But if they are very good this year, if they are on time, if they have great chemistry with Russell Wilson, that's where some upside on this team can come in a way that also will be really fun to watch. It was so nice to just watch that first team offense march down the field, not get mired in penalties, not have Russ running for his life, forced to throw the ball away. We weren't wasting downs, so that was really nice.
Yeah, and I'd say that the Seahawks have played the Cardinals twice a year during you know, the whole Russell Wilson, Jerron Brown eras, respectively.
As we call it, the Jerron Brown era in Arizona.
Right, exactly, the widespread used term. But he looked big to me. Like, he popped off the screen. Like, he's a big body. And, you know, pairing him with Brandon Marshall, I think, you know, that's the two biggest targets Russell Wilson's had on the outside since ever.
I think that might be good. I mean,
yeah.
When you think about Russell Wilson being inaccurate, it's always high. You know what I mean? He never puts the ball in the ground. He's never wide of the target. He's occasionally high of the target. And so, like, hey, put a tall receiver out there. Let's give him a bigger strike zone to pitch into. Fine. Like, that's an easy fix. I'll also say, man, Chris Carson, holy crap. Yeah. Like, oh boy.
Even when you looked, you know, down and stuffed, he kept pushing the pile. That guy's just got an insane motor.
I mean, Penny looked fine. Penny missed some tackles, which is great. In a world where we drafted Penny in the third round, I'd be hyping up Penny right now. He did not look better than Chris Carson, which is, you know, it's a tough standard.
Would we say it's expected?
From
everything we've heard.
I expect Chris Carson to be the best running back on the team this year, and that's a kind of a bummer given the resources we put. It's a sunk cost. I should get over it, and I'm sorry that I'm not over it. I'm going to work on it. I'm going to, you know, get to therapy, figure that out, sort it out with but, like, Chris Carson is dope as hell is the story. I mean, he was making guys miss. He was getting into space, cuts, extra yards, falling forward, doing everything you could want from a running back. I'm really excited. Rashad Penny had a good pass protection pickup on the touchdown to Nick Vinette, so that's great to see. I think the running back group, especially up top, I mean, J.D. McKissic and Mike Davis both got a little stymied, but they were running behind some of those backup offensive linemen. can we just not have Reece Odhiambo on the roster? Like, I had to back up a couple plays and be like, who blew that? And it was like, oh, Reece, buddy. Yeah. Like, No.
I will say this. He didn't even have the biggest net, you know, impact, whether it be negative or positive. Mark Lewinsky had the biggest impact on the Seahawks, on a Seahawks game since ever, and he was playing for the Colts.
Yeah. I didn't know the Colts had both Lewinsky and Jamarcus Webb. They're really living a life that is tough.
I always think that it's a good strategy when you see a team who's historically in this, you know, 2010 stretch on to, you know, present day, obviously. You pick up the spare offensive lineman from their team. I think that's a really good sound foundation to, you know, the depth on your offensive line. So Indianapolis Colts, Jim Mersey, you know, you just keep going, keep doing this. Take away our bad offensive linemen. Reece Odhiambo can be had for a price, I think.
Yeah, I say we drafted him in the third round. I take a fourth for him.
Yeah.
I would take a conditional seventh for him. Who am I kidding?
Yeah, but I think the overwhelming thought was, you know, from last night, the impression was the first team, whether it be offense and defense, looked good. Offense looked a little better. We'll talk a little bit more about the defense after this short break, so stay tuned. We'll be right back. Hey, guys. You know, there's always so much pressure to have your summer body ready, you know, before the summer starts. But, you know, even closing summer, you want to stay in shape, but it's really hard to with how hot it is outside. You don't even want to step outside into your car, into the sidewalk, into a gym crowded full of people, you know, sweating it up. Why not do that from the comfort of your own living room with Nordic Track? Nordic Track gives you, you know, a series of training equipment for amazing workouts in the convenience of your own home. It includes treadmills, exercise bikes, incline trainers, and you can do strength training with Nordic Track. And Locked On listeners get a special deal. You have to go to NordicTrack/LockedOn and use the promo code Locked On for $75 off your Nordic Track purchase. I think you should really take advantage of this. You know, Spike has made a big deal about his knee rehab, and he would kill for an exercise bike in his own home. So don't put yourself in the same position that Spike has put himself in. You need to go get a Nordic Track if you want to stay in shape, but you don't want to go outside into this heat. You know, it's sweaty, it's uncomfortable. Why not crank the AC in your living room and get a Nordic Track workout in? Go to NordicTrack/LockedOn. Use the promo code LockedOn to save $75 off your purchase. Hi, we are back with the second portion of today's episode of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You are still rolling with Grant and Spike, and we're going to put the spotlight towards the defense to start off this portion of the show. And I'd say the standout performer from last night's game, whether it be from the first team or second team, third team, was Rasheem Green, defensive end. We drafted him from USC. Had 10 sacks last year, but he's a little more raw. He's miscast during his college time, and he really popped last night. Whether it be the sack that he had been the edge, or, you know, the hand fighting from the interior, he looked sharp. And that's great from a standpoint that, you know, it accelerates his development, and, you know, he's only 20. I think that he's going to be a really great prospect for the Seahawks to work with, and I'm super excited for him.
Yeah, I think a lot of the rookies on defense look good. I think Green looked the best, and obviously he's coming in at a position where the Seahawks are shallow. We're shallow at defensive end. You know, Frank Clark, Deion Jordan is hurt. There's a rumor it's a stress fracture that could keep him out into the regular season. I don't think Marcus Smith got too many snaps last night. He certainly didn't jump off the screen. So Rasheem Green is going to have to play because we like to rotate our defensive ends, and he looked ready. Now, you know, quality of opponent, you got to set that aside. It's early in the preseason, but Pete was talking post game about the way he developed as a pass rusher in college at USC, the fact that he has really good instincts, really good skills already. He is only 20 years old, so you've got a lot of hope that there's so much upside there. He seems like a good player.
Yeah,
I mean, he's quick off the line. He was really quick off the line, and he was quick off his blocks in the run game too, which is important because Frank Clark is our speed rusher right now. But we're going to need that other end to be able to get off a block and tackle on the run game, and we saw Green do that a couple times.
I think you described it pretty well as him being ready, but not only ready, he showed that, you know, in a defensive line group that's had its fair share of injuries, more than its fair share of injuries, he's capable. He just has the ability to impact the game, whether it be in the passing game, in the run game. And I think the Seahawks got their hands on a really good prospect. Jacob Martin looked good last night too.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think that there's reason to be optimistic about the team's talent going forward, young talent going forward on the line. If you pair that with Jerron Reed, Naj Jones, I think that there's reason to be happy. But yeah, like I always say, the depth is concerning. You want your guys to be healthier. You want guys to be ready to go. But as far as just young guys on the team who can contribute, I think they've put in the work to get them, or they stumbled into them. Anyways, they're on the team, and they look ready to make an impact for the Seahawks.
Yeah. Yeah, and also, I mean, you just saw the speed team-wide. I mean, we saw it last year in that home game against the Rams. We looked slow. And with guys like Mingo, guys like Green, guys like Shaquem Griffin, and Jacob Martin, there's clearly an emphasis on accelerating our defense, getting faster guys onto the field, and that's going to make a difference this year. It's also going to mean, you know, there's downside to that. Our defense is going to be smaller than we expect, so they're going to be more missed tackles. I mean, hopefully Bobby doesn't get owned by Robert Turbin again.
Yeah, that happened. Thing.
Oh, boy. But, like, we're going to be at the point of attack more quickly, which is absolutely crucial against the sort of offenses we're going to face in San Francisco and Los Angeles. Marquise Goodwin is a burner. Brandon Cooks is a burner. Like, there are issues within our division in terms of speed that we're going to have to meet with speed. Jerick McKinnon and Todd Gurley are fast dudes. We got fast linebackers. We got fast pass rushers. We're trying to get back to that speed. And I'm excited that that's the direction we're moving. There are going to be some growing pains, though. But I think there was a lot to like.
Yeah, and initially, I mean, this is the first game in the preseason, but we're happy with what we've seen, but there's room for regression, obviously, throughout this preseason and even into the regular season. Bobby Wagner was getting interviewed during the game last night, and the first thing that he mentioned was his missed tackle on Robert Turbin. But I will say that this is the first time that they're getting to hit, actually make live tackles, because Pete, you know, holds them out from doing that. There's no reason to be concerned about Bobby Wagner.
Concerned. He didn't have a missed tackle until he got hurt. You know what? We're on Bobby Wagner washed watch. That happened. Right.
But as long as we're on that watch, we need to be on Shaquem Griffin watch too.
You
mentioned the speed of the defense. You know, he was definitely one of the people spearheading that movement last night. He was.
What do you have? Nine tackles.
Nine tackles. You know, he probably played the most out of anybody last night, and he just looked like he was flying all over the place. A lot of good energy and effort plays. Even when guys were getting wrapped up, he was, you know, he was running to the ball and making sure the tackle happened. I mean, maybe he had a couple plays where he could have been better, but as far as I'm concerned, Shaquem Green. No, not Shaquem. That's a great name. Shaquem Griffin looked really, really fun. That's my overwhelming analysis.
Yeah, no, I thought he, yeah, I mean, there's not much to dislike. He's fast. It took him a second to get himself into the game. I think he might have been overrunning some stuff, or maybe they're just going away from him. Andrew Luck was really picking on Trey Flowers early. Trey Flowers did a pretty good job considering. He's a big dude, and he was keeping the ball in front of him. He had one pass interference penalty, which is not great. But Griffin, fast. Yeah, everything we wanted to see from him, we saw. He made an impact in the run game. He was cleaning things up in the middle of the field. I think we're going to need him this year. And I think it could come early because, especially if Jordan's hurt, we're going to see Mingo potentially lining up more in a defensive end spot, which means that third linebacker spot could be open. So, I mean, KJ had a bad, like, we're joking about Bobby Wagner. KJ had a weird missed tackle on the very first play of the game. Now, I'm not saying that Shaquem is going to step up in front of KJ Wright this year, but long term, that is what's going to happen.
Oh yeah, I think that as long as we have Shaquem on the team, there's a lot of places that we can put him at just to benefit from having his speed and nose for the football on the field. I think he's just a positive player where. Wherever you can put him, you know, he's going to have his, you know, slip-ups and he's going to, you know, overcommit or, you know, he's going to miss a tackle or two. But, you know, when you have a guy that fast and as strong as him, then I think that, you know, you have less reason to worry than putting someone else on the field. But that's just my impression off the first football game that we've seen in months. I think we should take a quick break and come back with the end of the show. So stay tuned.
Guys, football season's here. It's here. Preseason games have started. And you know what's better than watching them on TV or watching them on your laptop late, replayed on Game Pass? Watching them in person. How are you going to do that? How are you going to get in to CenturyLink Field? How are you going to go on the road and go watch the Seahawks play in Denver week one? You're going to get Vivid Seats. You're going to go to vividseats.com. You're going to enter the promo code Locked On, and you're going to get 10% off your purchase. And NFL tickets are not cheap. There are $200 tickets out there just for, like, regular seats at a Seahawks game. That will save you $20. $20 will buy you, like, 20 hamburgers, depending on where you go, or one hamburger. I don't know where you get your hamburgers. The important thing is that you get your tickets at Vivid Seats, okay? It's an online ticket marketplace, and it's got it all for NFL games, but also all other live events. You go to vividseats.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON. That gets Locked On Seahawks listeners 10% off their first ticket order. That's new customers only, and here's the real thing. It's only good through the end of August. So you got to look at that Seahawks schedule now. Pull it up, Google it, Seahawks schedule. Find the game you want to go to. Then go to vividseats.com. Promo code Locked On at vividseats.com. The offseason's over, baby. The NFL is here. Games are happening. See them in person. Don't watch them on a tiny screen. And do it through Vivid Seats, vividseats.com.
We are back with the final portion of today's episode of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You are still with Grant and Spike. And Spike, I want to ask you a question real quick. What was your reaction when the team brought on John Ryan for the first punt?
Hey, look, I will not say a crossword about John Ryan. I will never say a crossword about John Ryan. John Ryan is a hero. John Ryan is beloved. John Ryan is great. That said, I wanted to see Michael Dixon punt. Like, I was like rooting, especially in the second half, for our drives to stall out so we could see some of that sweet, sweet Michael Dixon punt action. I mean, other than like Will Disley and then David Moore before he took a concussion, nobody from the second team offense was popping off the screen. And even at a certain point, they stopped playing Disley. So it was just like, I don't want to see Reese Odhiambo and Joey Hunt blow blocks over and over again. I want to see Michael Dixon. And then we saw it, and man, hot dog, Michael Dixon. I mean, again, I don't want to say a crossword against John Ryan, but Michael Dixon is the truth. I mean, his first punt bends it right onto the sideline. Second punt, fumbled.
And yeah, like, I think that was the best punt of the night.
Yeah, why? I don't understand why Michael Dixon's punts are uncatchable. All we know is that he has 9 different ways the ball will rotate off of his foot when he punts, and he can angle all of them to the sideline. Here's my thing, though. Why is he angling to the sideline? That's just going to let guys slap him out of bounds. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He's so dangerous. You got to give a bigger radius for punt recoveries for Michael Dixon. I mean, what was that second punt went 60 yards in the air and then, like, spiraled to the side at the end?
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's awesome. I love it. I mean, the Michael Dixon hype train it's going. It's fast. I mean, what? Look, Grant, do you have Michael Dixon related thoughts?
Well, I went as far to fake scribble over my Hauschka shirt and write in Dixon and wear that for the game. You know, that's you know, solidifying my spot on the Dixon hype train, I think, a little bit. But yeah, I was really impressed by his second punt, especially. I had to go back and watch it again. We're at the point where we're watching punts multiple times, just admiring, not even from an analysis standpoint, just, you know, for the pure simple beauty of a good punt. I think, you know, it's worth watching a couple times. So shout out to Michael Dixon. I think he fulfilled expectations. You know, he picked his locations, which he was known for. He pinned a punt inside the 10. It was a 34-yard punt, but it's the best freaking 34-yard punt I've ever seen. And you know, he had that freaking boomer of a kick. I'm using freaking for a substitute to better describe Michael Dixon's punts. But I really liked what I saw. John Ryan looked pretty good last night too, though.
Again, like, that's the thing. It's like, John Ryan is a good punter and a great man and a hero to all Seahawks fans. And I joked on Twitter that we got to keep both of them. Why not? I don't, you know, like, do we really need Reese Odhiambo on the... That's what I'm saying. It's John Ryan instead of our 9th terrible offensive lineman. Like, whoever we're going to keep, like, I hate them already. I just, like, I don't care. Like, I hate to pick on Reese Odhiambo, but, like, this was his chance to, like, flash at guard for a second. And, like, he gave up, like, Alex Magoo was running for his life. Magoo looks fine, by the way. I kind of liked Magoo, but,
He wasn't asked to do a whole lot. I think the conversation was shifting.
I mean, he had
shifting.
That one, like, real... like runaway, like he had like a Russell Wilson-y sort of backpedal and then complete a pass, and there was a really bad offensive pass interference call on that.
Right.
So, you know,
Austin Davis hurt his chances. That was a bad interception he threw.
It was, but it was a good drive. So I don't know. It was a bad interception. Like backup quarterback, the best option is Colin Kaepernick. All of our guys are blah, but. Oh, God, come on. I don't know. What am I even talking about? We're talking about John Ryan. John Ryan's good, man. Michael Dixon, though, is a hero.
Yeah, I think...
Put them both on the roster. Don't keep Reese Odhiambo. That's all I'm asking.
I think this is going to end with John Ryan getting cut. Obviously, I think the writing's been on the wall since they drafted Dixon, but... he's going to catch on somewhere, and he's going to be a good punter still. So, you know, hopefully last year was a little bit of an outlier, and he gets back to punting real good, because that's what he did during the rest of his time in Seattle. Okay, I think before we end the show, we'll talk a little bit about the injuries. Jamarco Jones was carted off last night with an ankle injury, which Pete Carroll described as legit. So, that's pretty serious.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. Sure, it was a high ankle sprain. That'll keep him out 4 to 6 weeks. Great. More Jermaine Ifedi.
We talked about the potential replacements for Ifedi leading up to this game, and the powers that be were like, you know what? more Jermaine Ifedi. This is what everybody needs in their life. So, yeah, that's what we have to look forward to with this injury. I don't know if he was going to overtake him quite yet, but you know, we definitely saw the foundation for that happening leading up to this game. So, definite bummer for Jamarcus Jones because he looked pretty good. He didn't allow pressure when he had 11 snaps. So,
yeah.
Shout out to PFF for sending us these emails with little nuggets of stats. Akeem King played pretty well. According to this, he had 47 snaps, which was the most among Seahawks corners. And he was targeted 3 times, allowed just 1 catch for 10 yards, and allowing a 43.8 passer rating. So, shout out to 43 to 8.
The only blemish on King's record was on that fumbled punt. He went in head first, which it's just unlike the play on David Moore, which was sort of a normal play. Like, ball comes out, he went down, and the receiver went down sort of like in a weird way. So it was just like it was 100% the right call. That is absolutely at this point a personal foul penalty, which is like a bummer, but. You know, like, it was the right call. It was also the right call not to even consider ejecting him. It wasn't a dirty play the way the Colts play. It was dirty. I'm just rewatching that punt right now. Akeem King looked great all night. Looked great.
Yeah.
I'm just rewatching that punt. Goes 67. He's kicked it out of the end zone. The ball is fielded then at the 32. So what is that? 68 yards in the air? And has side spin on it. So it, like, it was, like, too high and moving to the side. And it's, like, right on the sideline. So he's got to field it. And fields it, but then pops out of his hand. King is right there to pop him and try to go for that fumble recovery. I mean, my God. And when we get Nico Thorpe in there, Nico Thorpe won't have to hit because he'll be there. He'll just be able to catch the ball out of his hands and take it the other way for an end for a touchdown for the Seahawks. I mean, it's a really good punt, guys.
That's going to be really the primary option for scoring touchdowns for the Seahawks.
Yeah.
Botched recoveries and Nico Thorpe taking it and scoring a touchdown. Simple as that.
Yeah. Okay, so backed him up to the 34. He had to try to catch it over his shoulder. Pops out. I mean, Jesus Christ. Also, it's great on the replay because Bobby Wagner is mic'd up for it. So he goes, "Ooh, nice hit!" Like, right as the fumble happened. That's so good. Michael Dixon hype train. Choo-choo, baby. Choo-choo.
All right. I think that's the strongest point we've ever left the episode on.
Yeah, it's so really nice to, like, watch the team play football and not be bad. Like, Bradley McDougal was good. Tedder Thompson was good. I mean, they were just good. Quentin Jefferson flashed the time.
They were just good. He got hurt, too, I think.
Yeah, but nothing serious. Yeah. They're just good plays all over that starting group. I mean, again, I think what we need to look at is for the first time in a while, this team is shallow. This team is not bad. Shallow. It's not bad. Those are two different things. Shallow, your margin for error isn't there, but we still got good players up top. So there's still hope, still reasons to believe. And also we have Michael Dixon. So even if we end up with the backups in there, hey, every sack is an opportunity to punt it away and get a turnover and get 70 yards of field position. So, hey.
It's the positives you got to look at.
Yeah.
All right. I think that does it for today's show. We want to thank you guys for listening, for going to iTunes and leaving reviews. Make sure you go do that. Leave a 5-star review. We definitely appreciate it.
We got a 1-star review for messing up Deion Jordan's tender year, which is, like, really harsh. We weren't even making a big point about it, guys. So if you could balance that out, I'd really appreciate it. Like, I get it. Sometimes we make mistakes, but, like, woof.
I'm not asking you guys to balance it out. I'm asking you guys to tip the scales in our favor. Go leave an overwhelming amount of 5-star reviews. Leave it from the Nordic Track bike that you're sitting on your phone. And exit the Vivid Seats app for 1 second to go to iTunes to leave a 5-star review for the Locked On Seahawks podcast. That's all I'm asking. It's not very much. So go ahead, do that. If you're a fan of the show, if you're not a fan of the show, if you're indifferent about the show, go do that. So I think We'll be coming with content throughout next week too, at least 3 episodes a week from here on out, which is something to look forward to. Obviously, if you're one of the people that I just mentioned, a fan of the show. So yeah, thank you guys, and for the Locked On Seahawks podcast, I'm Grant Goldberg signing off.
I'm Spike Friedman, also signing off.